Security unit 238-776-431 just doesn't have the right ring to it. How about Freedom Unit? Or Rogue Bots? No, that sucks. Maybe.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me to You Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And this time we're doing the first of at least two episodes about Murderbot, because the first two episodes just dropped. We just watched them. So this is really sort of a quick flashcast kind of reaction that will come out at the end of the month. So I don't know. Maybe I'll try and turn around faster than that, maybe before the next one comes out. And So, yeah, we're still developing the plan about if we want to do just Murderbot until it's done, or if we want to put some interstitial thing in there and let some of these back up, or I don't know. I kind of like the idea of letting the next three or four come out when we do those, and then do like the last four in a final episode. The math doesn't work for how many episodes there are. I can't maths, so I can't.
Maths.
Yes.
So the way it would work is we just watch two episodes. Mm-hmm. Next month, there would be four more episodes to watch.
Yes.
The month after that, there'd be the last four episodes to watch.
Yes.
And so that would give us three episodes.
You know, I guess the math did work. It's an indictment of the American education system.
The math did work. For some reason, I was thinking 3, 4, and 4 added to 10. And I'm like, no. No.
only for large values
for
of 10.
Large numbers of 10.
Right. Or for very small values of 3. Right. bordering on 2. Anyhow, off the rails already.
Yes.
Per usual.
So we previously did just a quick reaction. It was only 10, 15 minutes, something like that, talking about what we're worried about. You were a little worried about the tone.
Yeah.
Just because of stuff that you had seen. I still have not gotten to that Ask Me Anything from Martha Wells, where she was on Reddit. She did a recent Ask Me Anything. So maybe we'll bring some of that in for the following episode.
Okay.
Because I saw some of the questions, but I haven't seen any of the answers yet.
Oh, wait, what is this? Details.
So Martha Wells just recently, two, three days ago,
yeah,
did an AMA on Reddit about Murderbot.
Oh.
So, cool. But I got in there early enough that, you know, it was just people were putting in questions, but she hadn't answered any of them yet.
Got it.
So yeah, that might be something to mine for the next episode. But, yeah. So we just watched the first two episodes. I don't know what they're called, or if they're just called episode 1 and 2, that kind of thing. We should know this, but it's on your TV, James. How come you don't know?
Episode 1 is called Free Commerce. Episode 2 is Eye Contact.
That makes a great deal of sense. Yes. Okay.
It's like we have eye stalks, and my eye stalks will be touching your eye stalks. Right.
Technically, we do have eye stalks. They stick out the front of our brains. They're just still in our skulls, but they're part of our brain.
Yikes.
Yours don't come out?
No, most of the time.
Okay. Yeah.
I always heard horror stories about, like, in locker rooms, somebody snapping a towel at somebody and hitting them just right to pop their eye out.
Whoa. That would suck.
That would, yeah. I'm not sure if it was real or if it was just the kind of thing that teachers tell you to...
Right.
Make sure you don't
get you to behave. Yeah.
Yes. Like watching the TV too close, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Don't sit too close to the TV. And then it was the for kids in the 70s and 80s, it was don't sit too close to the TV and also change the channel for me. So like, do you want me close or not?
Just not close all the time. Only when I want you there.
Right.
Stand there and get heavily irradiated for a while, will you please?
Yep. Yeah. We were the remote controls back in the day. At least I was. And the garage door opener. Anyhow. Right. Do we want to talk about the episodes individually or just as a whole? Probably as a whole, huh?
Yeah. We already talked about the first episode of the Murderbot Diaries is. It's called All Conditions Red. All Systems Red.
All Systems Red, yeah.
Written by Martha Wells in 2017. Mm-hmm. This adaptation has been in the works for 2 years through Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it is produced by the Weitz brothers.
Right. So, thoughts? James, do you have thoughts? Do you want to lead off?
I try not to. I just want to watch my cereals.
I mean, sometimes we bury you in our discussions. So,
yeah. Initial thoughts. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So far, so good. I like Alex Skarsgård though. Mm-hmm. He's cool.
Anything in there that you like didn't expect?
Not really. There are things I expected to have happened yet.
Yeah.
Mostly the why he was named Murderbot thing, like Colin brought up.
I do want to talk about that, so maybe we should just go straight to that, because immediately, as soon as they talked about him coming up with his name, Murderbot, while spitballing.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
The first 3 minutes.
Yeah, I kind of envisioned that being the whole first 3 minutes, right, of the show, kind of envisioned being more of like a look back in the history kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the show actually starting with that in that timeline. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to start with them in the crater. Yeah.
Just like the story. Yeah.
Right. Like the story. Yeah. And then over time reveals all that and we see, you know, him committing doing the whole Murderbot thing. And that's why he's called Murderbot. But not really.
Yeah. Yeah. So fundamental to Murderbot's character is that years ago, he had killed a whole bunch of miners. Mm-hmm. And he did that because his governor module forced him to. And he never wants that to happen again. And so he's hacked his governor module so he's not forced to do that. Mm-hmm. However, he knows that he did. And so he has called himself in his mind Murderbot. Mm-hmm. And it's a private thing. You get the feeling it's not something he's overly proud of,
right?
Just by the way it's described, and the fact that he considers it very private.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it hasn't come out when Guru is talking about him too, because he was the one that reveals that.
Yeah,
in the book. Right. It was in the trailer too.
Yeah.
So I expected that to happen in the early episodes. Right. It might come up later.
It'll happen later.
So. Yeah, after Murderbot is disabled, right? Yeah. Has to shut down, assuming that happens. Right. True. I noticed that you're using a male pronoun for Murderbot, and with Alexander Skarsgård in the role, it makes it that much more tempting too, right?
Yes,
because he's got a face.
And I know that I'm misgendering him, and I will probably continue to misgender him. I will do the best I can to use the pronouns it and them. Mm-hmm. If I slip, I ask for apologies.
Yeah.
Nah, it's a him. He's a Ken doll.
I will say one thing that I didn't expect was I pictured Murderbot as being largely metal with some fleshy bits.
Yeah.
You know, it describes in the book the Murderbot getting hit in the legs and in the torso and the arms. So I knew there was flesh over a lot of the body, but I pictured like from knees down, Robocop, essentially.
I always thought more like a Terminator anyway.
Well, and with his built-in energy weapons, he had a uniform engineer made for him so that he could use them.
Right.
So the arms are not all fleshy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's more endoskeleton, right? Mm-hmm. And when Murderbot is getting repaired, which I thought was pretty cool, it's like 3D.
Yeah, it was a cool way they did that.
Yeah, that kind of 3D printing. I pictured the cubicle more as enclosed, and I feel like the character of Murderbot would prefer that.
Oh, definitely.
Like that's what the book really represents, but it's harder to pull off in a visual medium, right? It's more cinematic to see Murderbot standing there and getting reprinted.
I guess. Yeah. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be concessions to, you know, we have to show someone's beautiful face or we want to show their Ken doll body, right? Even though the first scene that it did it, I swear it was pixelated. Not pixelated, but it looked blurred.
Oh.
It kind of did, yeah.
It had to have been CGI'd out.
Yeah.
Or they put his head over something that was there because there was nothing to hide behind. I mean,
right.
I mean, maybe they just painted it green and painted it.
he's wearing green underwear.
Legitimately probably is wearing green underwear. I mean, yeah.
I don't know. He's pretty well known for not being afraid to be naked.
I mean, I guess he did play Tarzan, right? Yeah. So,
well, and the Norseman.
Yeah. I've heard and read that he's not afraid at all. He's not modest at all.
I forgot he was in the Norseman. He's leaned down a little since then because he was pretty beefy in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I like the overlay they did too, how they showed the feed.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I like it until the background is so bright that you can't read it any longer.
Yeah.
I figure in those times it's not really important to see what it says, but you know, I really do like seeing like he's walking into a room. It's walking into a room awkwardly. Yes. Efficiency is just ticking down.
97, 98.
Yeah. And if there's one thing that the show has executed really well so far, it's like that awkward thing.
Yeah, the projection of awkwardness is right up there. Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like the moment where Garothan is like, I'm ordering you to make and sustain eye contact. And I commented, are you sure you want to pull the pin on that? And then like as he turns that way, it's like, ooh, I don't know if I would like that eye contact.
Yeah.
And he has good good eyes for all of his anxiety faces that he does.
Yes.
Skarsgård. So I'm not misgendering him.
Right.
Yeah. So tell me what is the beef about the Murderbot name? Just because this is something that Murderbot knows more about?
Yeah. I mean, Murderbot knows that it killed somebody. And the way in this television series that it's depicted is that it hacks its governor module and it starts picking names and they're all kind of random and it goes, oh, Murderbot. Well, I think it started calling itself Murderbot way before it hacked its governor module. That I don't think that there's that level of detail in the story,
right.
But it's not something randomly picked. And the memory that it does get to share in episode two, it should have had all along, right? It said it failed as a horrible murder bot and all these.
Sure. You're saying it should have. You're saying if it was going to adapt exactly what the book said.
Yeah.
So here, one of the problems I'm having with this is that it's a really canonical adaptation. Mm-hmm. It's so canonical that the differences really, really stand out. It's the uncanny valley problem for me.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, why would you make this change? Why do you hide the reveal of what in the story is a central part of Murderbot's character and identity? Mm-hmm. And I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't mind it just because I feel like there's going to be discovery of that along with the other people, right? Along with Garothan or who else, right? Slowly peeling that onion of what happened before. Why is your memory blanked? And it's just the kind of the trauma of that. So I don't mind them doing it that way. The interesting thing is I had remembered that you learned all about that incident in the first volume in All Systems Red, but you don't learn about it until Artificial Condition, which I didn't go back and reread.
You get the whole story in Artificial Condition.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I had remembered that it was in the first book, but it wasn't because I just reread it last week. In All Systems Red, you learn bits and pieces about the history that led to the nickname, right?
Right.
Led to it naming itself. But you don't really get the entire story until the second book.
Oh, I see. The full memory and yeah. What exactly happened, I guess,
I guess, you know, we haven't really done any book discussion on this one.
No, we haven't.
maybe we'll save that for I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up just sprinkling it in kind of through.
Across the episodes.
Yeah. Real quick on that note, what's your experience with the book?
Oh my gosh. I came across the initial chapters that were released on Tor.com back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Because they were not all released as kind of a teaser for what was going to come out. I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. And given the number of Hugo, Locus, and Nebula awards she has won for these stories since then, I would say that a lot of people agree with me.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. I think Martha Wells won best series, definitely best series, and I think best novella at least a couple times, and then best novel for Network Effect.
Yep.
I don't actually remember how I first came across it. All I know is I got it at the library as a hardcover, and maybe you recommended it or something. I don't have that memory.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first time I had read an actual book that was a novel, a novella, you know, and I was like, wow, this is a great length. You know, you can put this down in a day or two really easily. And so I read it that way. Then I also had the EPUB version of it from Tor, and I've listened to the audiobook a couple of times and the graphic audiobook as well.
Yeah. So there are two audio adaptations. One is read by a man named Kevin R. Free, who does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And then there's a full cast graphic audio adaptation, which is also really, really good. Mm-hmm.
So I've done all of that. So I've consumed it like four or five times, and then I just reread it last week on my Nook.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that worried me about the tone when we watched the trailer and we've seen snippets is there's a lot of dry humor in there. There's a lot of sarcasm. There's a lot of, you know, Murderbot making jokes about people inside its head, behind its back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I never considered this laugh out loud funny. Mm. And this is definitely laugh out loud funny. Yeah. It's its own kind of thing.
Well, let's, so James, how long ago did you read this?
A couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First read All Systems Red a couple of years ago on Colin's recommendation.
Okay. And then did you, you did like an audiobook version of it recently as well?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I was going to do it, the audiobook last week, but it wasn't available on the library. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think you've talked about this, how sometimes you have a hard time picking up humor in books.
Yeah.
There's times where Colin would be like, is it supposed to be funny? And I was like, well, I thought it was funny. So I guess the humor didn't work on you. But you just don't process it the same way in print, maybe.
It's entirely possible that I am part Murderbot.
or Commander Data.
Either way.
That is very, very funny.
He's in the Commander Data.
Yes.
I don't know. I laughed out loud reading this book. So.
Oh, okay.
I definitely did too. And because, and the humor is dark, right? It's like, I have to answer a direct question. The only other choice is to jump out the hatch, right? I think this is what you can expect for our Murderbot episodes, is to talk a little bit about the show and some about the book as well.
Yeah.
Although I'm pretty fresh off the book, but I had forgotten how Murderbot chose its name.
Yeah. Yeah. So they made a couple other changes. They dropped Oversay. And Pinley and Arata are a couple.
Aren't they in the There's a couple in the book.
Yes, but it's not Pinley isn't part of that couple.
Oh, it's Arata and.
Oh yeah, yeah. They got rid of
somebody.
Overse.
Yeah. Overse is the way the
Well, and that's the other thing. Overse. I did not anticipate that anyone in this story was something other than boy. Speaking as a pasty white man, mm-hmm. all ethnic, African, right. Asian,
mm-hmm. Indian,
Middle yeah. Eastern, mm-hmm. all those, right? I didn't expect to see any white kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you really only have
what's his face, right?
Yeah, just Grothan. Just Grothan, right?
Just yeah actually, David Asnafian is part Iranian.
Oh, right.
I learned that. Yeah,
okay, but I mean, yeah. People always picture Iranians as being Arab, which they're not. So
he's not swarthy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I kind of pictured everybody as it being a diaspora and there being lots of different colors. But you can kind of see in a diaspora that goes on long enough, nobody's totally white, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So in the second episode, episode one, highly canonical. You get a little introductory episode where you see what happened to Murderbot's previous job, which I thought was kind of a cool intro. Mm-hmm.
And that almost all humans are assholes.
And almost all humans are assholes. And it kind of sets his attitude about everything because you see how he's treated by people and what he has to deal with.
Right.
And then we get to the hippie people from Preservation. And that was funny because I did not anticipate that at all. I saw them as like, you know, reserved, polite.
Scientists.
Right? Scientists.
Yeah.
And not, right. you know. Not granola, but making people who make their own jewelry and clothing.
But when you really think about it, with Mensa's multiple marriage, right? Like it kind of does right. sound commune, hippie commune. I never considered it, but then once they kind of went that way, I was like, you know, that kind of makes sense. I do think that like I expected the scientists to be a little more competent, especially like Rati just seems like a mimbo to me. he's the vibe guy, right? Right. I don't know what he brings other than the vibe.
Yeah, buddy.
He hasn't had a chance yet to bring it, but it'll be brought in.
Yeah, it will be brought in. Yes, and you know they kind of front load the idea of the contract marriage. That is open to, you know, not just one man, one woman, or one partner,
right? Right, right.
Which is definitely something that's in the novella. Right.
Yes, I want you to have everything, so here's a Rati.
Right. It just reminds me of, you know, I know people who have decided to open their marriage, and wow, it did not go well.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should just consider not being married anymore, because right. that's the direction it's going to go.
Yeah. And I have another particular beef, and that is that I feel like they nerfed Mensa. Mensa, throughout this initial story, is an extremely competent leader. She's mm-hmm. the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. She is actually pretty kick-ass in several episodes. Mm-hmm. This Mensa is fundamentally broken that gets panic attacks.
Yeah.
And that is something that right. happens later in the series due to some trauma that she goes through. Mm-hmm. But I feel like bringing it all the way back here with no cause for it really doesn't... It changes the character in a way, and I don't think I like that change. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, you objected to something else about, I think Garothan said that back in Preservation, bots and constructs are people. And you said wrong. Is that not the way it was in the novel?
That's a personal comment on the state of AI in today's world where we live.
Okay. So it was not a canonical consideration.
Yes. Yeah. So what we call AI is really a large language model or generative AI.
Right.
And it is a plagiarism right. machine that was built with things that were stolen from other people in ways that were illegal.
Fortunately, all nerds of goodwill wouldn't use it for anything.
Never. Never.
Especially not for, you know, vetting people for panels at Hugo.
Yes.
At the Worldcon.
No, that would never happen.
No, never.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
Yeah. Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. This is something I've been wanting to see, and I'm glad that we got a glimpse of it in both episodes.
Yes.
Where like I think I said in our previous episode, I want it to be like Highlander, where they think of something and then they do a flashback to that. I really enjoy what I really want to see is somebody in soft focus, like classic Trek. You know, I want to see a woman in soft focus. That's what I want to see. It's very shiny, The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon.
It is. It's very modern sci-fi mm-hmm. soap opera.
Yeah.
You took an oath on this bridge never to lie.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to put up the shields to save ourselves and our ship. I have to know. Mm-hmm. So over the top by Clark Gregg.
Yes. Yeah. With magnificent whiskers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, let's talk for a little bit about the production value, mm-hmm. right? This is really well done.
Yeah.
They did not skimp. This isn't cheap. Everything is well done. And the actors are, I think they do a really, really good job. Mm-hmm. I love that his irises flicker when he starts to watch media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, or have memories.
That's a cool detail.
Memories.
Yeah. Yes. I noticed that too. That's pretty sweet.
Peter pointed out something to me when we watched this. Because, you know, I have a hard problem watching things then recording immediately. Mm-hmm. I tend to overreact to things that maybe I shouldn't. So I watched it last night with Peter. Peter said he wondered how you were going to handle the voiceover, Seth. And then he pointed out that the voiceover is inconsistent. Sometimes the voiceover is a true voiceover because we're in Murderbot's head. But mm-hmm. several times Murderbot voices those things out loud.
I noticed that.
And it doesn't seem to be in character or appropriate. He would not speak those things out loud. There's absolutely no reason to.
Mm. I did find it. I only noticed it one time. There was a few times, though,
in the book where he accidentally said something out loud. He didn't mean to.
Yes.
Yeah. I only noticed it right at the end of the second one where he's like effing humans, you know? Yeah. I expected that to be voiceover, but it wasn't. So I don't know. It doesn't really bother me. And the voiceover, I don't think there's any way to get around it. And we talked about that on our previous episode.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Because you're stuck inside his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. First person perspective and how introspective it all is, right? About what Murderbot is thinking. That's what makes the whole thing work.
Yeah.
A kind of a logical question that comes up with, you know, the hippy-dippy people from Preservation, why would they ever agree to take a sec unit with them when they consider it a form of enslavement? Mm-hmm. And the show answers the question. Well, we're not going to bond you if you don't take one.
Right.
So whatever your scruples are, doesn't matter. You want to be able to do this mission, then you have to take one. And so they're like, fine, we'll take the cheap one.
Yes.
What a piece of crap.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah. I like it. He was just sitting back there, tilted off.
Leaning up against the wall.
Leaning against the wall, yeah.
Yeah. I like the opening credits. It reminds me a little bit of the Severance credits, where the Severance credits almost look kind of claymation, you know, like puppets and stuff. And the credits here, they have like action figures and stuff. They have to be putting out some merchandising things because I want a poseable murder bot, you know.
Oh, I want totally. A t-shirt. You know, there has not been a lot of legitimately made Murderbot merchandise. There's been a lot of counterfeit stuff. And if you follow Martha Wells' newsletter, which you should because she's an awesome author. And has written stuff for a long time, not just the Murderbot stuff that has recently become popular. So if you like what you're reading, you're going to get more of it in her other writing as well.
Yeah.
Up to the point where she was nominated for a best novel last year for The Witch King, The Demon King.
The Witch King, yeah.
The Witch King.
I DNF'd that book. So it wasn't my thing. And I was like, you know what? If this one wins, I'll happily read it. But it wasn't working for me. So
yeah,
it's fine.
But yeah, so there's, and I think you can get this through World Builders. Which is a charity that is run through the author of The Name of the Wind.
Rothfuss,
thank you. There's like a couple of enamel pins and something else, but no t-shirts or mugs or other things. So if you see those and they're not coming through Apple or Paramount, they're probably not legit.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some merch set up at Worldcon this year that's legit stuff.
I hope.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? So one of the things they've talked about is there's not a lot of content for building 5 hours of adaptation. So they were going to add stuff to it, and they have. They start with an addition. Mm-hmm. Most of the second episode is an addition.
Kind of, yeah. I'm curious where they're going. I'm intrigued by the whatever the phenomenon is that's attracting the bugs.
Right,
right.
That was an interesting thing, right? It seems to be some gravitational anomaly or something. It's crushing everything that gets near it.
Or killing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the bones are all still there. They're not crushed. It's just...
Right. But the drone got kind of stripped into its constituent parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's, say, an alien version of a flytrap.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. That's how they make the area safe. No, it's like a bug zapper.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess that's like a flytrap, right?
Yeah. Also works for droids.
Mm-hmm.
Drones.
Right. Yeah.
If they follow the book, it's going to be the alien artifact, right?
Yeah.
And they're just trying to... I mean, the premise of the book was that they're trying to hide it.
Right. But right? we don't learn that much about the band. Actual artifact, right?
No.
Just that it exists.
Right.
Yeah. So they go to, in the story, they go to the map square. That's the way I think in my head. They actually call it something else that is that they don't have a map for in their broken survey package.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, they completely skip the mention of the missing fauna package, which is actually also in the story, which explains why they didn't know about the giant thing with teeth that was supposed to eat them.
Right.
The creeper.
Yeah. And they do all go there. And that is when Evil Survey starts to contact them.
Right. They're trying to interfere with their hopper.
Right.
And then it's when they go to Deltfall that's really when everything kicks off. And so I liked from a series structure in terms of getting people to come back the next week, right? They gave us a little glimpse of what's going on at Deltfall, and it's bad.
Yeah.
Where in the novel, you don't really get that until they arrive there and they start finding dead bodies.
Right.
Murderbot opens the door and is like, there's dead bodies in here.
Yeah. There are a couple of little things that happen and you only appreciate it in retrospect. So like Murderbot is told to abort his rescue mission of Oversay and Baradwaj.
Yeah.
And, the part that we haven't gotten to yet when on the way to Deltfall, the hopper drops out. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back or something else, they lose all the satellites. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically cut off.
And one of the things that I like that they're doing in the story for the adaptation is there seems to be a connection between Garothan and the corporation. He reacts in certain ways when they are brought up. So he's a new member of Preservation Ox, mm-hmm. and they talk like he came from there, or maybe he came from the Corporation Rim.
Yeah.
Haven't quite worked it all out yet.
He certainly doesn't seem to like them.
No. Yeah. No, there's a high level of distrust, but that's very Garothan-like. Mm-hmm. Whether they're corporation or not.
And I really enjoyed in the second episode the dynamic between Garoth and Murderbot. It was kind of awkward, and they're sort of probing each other literally in terms of on the feed, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like when Murderbot zaps him in the head. Yep. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, he's trying to look into my feeds. All right, I'll show him something. And he shows him the budding threesome going on.
The thruple.
And I like that, Colin, you're well on record with the idea of elliptical sex, where as soon as things start going that way, just go dot, dot, dot. And we all know what's happening. We can move on to the next chapter section. Yes. And Murderbot totally agrees with that. I always fast forward through those sections. Yeah.
Yes. By their elevated heart rates, you could tell they were going to have sex.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Anything else? Anything else about the novella? I mean, I presume we all enjoyed it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've read it a bunch of times. You've read it a bunch of times. James read it a couple times. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get with the program.
I would have read it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have liked to see Murderbot take the 20% damage that was reported in the novella in here, because the thing just took a little nibble out of him.
Yeah, but it was a pretty significant nibble.
That was a big nibble there.
20% is a limb and a part of your torso.
Yeah, he was missing all of this.
Yeah, that's not 20%.
And he had a hole here.
He did have a hole in the shoulder as well.
Yeah.
But
he had a giant gash in his shoulder.
20%.
Yeah. You wanted a limb gone?
I want a limb gone and a section of torso.
Okay. Fair enough.
they're saving the major damage for future episodes.
Maybe the 20% includes blood, so internal damage that we couldn't see.
At 20%, they can't depict it in a way that wouldn't be censored.
Censored by what?
He is a Ken doll, so he is kind of missing a limb.
He is, yes.
He's down to only two
now
legs.
Now we know where it went.
He got your limb. That's where it went.
You want me to repair this? Nah, I just paste over it.
And that was a large 20%, just saying.
So, yeah, I don't like the changes. I don't understand. I'm interested to see how they're going to evolve over the series. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that, kind of like Foundation, it's going to be good science fiction. It's mm-hmm. so close, though, that I don't understand why they didn't just take the last step and do things mm-hmm. more canonically. But there might be some very, very good reasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to wait and find out.
Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying about when things are really, really close, like in the Ender's Game movie, one of these days we'll get there. There's a couple of places where the dialogue is lifted straight out of the book mm-hmm. and then it changes. And in my head, it's just a record scratch. I'm like, no, that's not right.
Well, especially the way you memorize phrases like that. Mm-hmm. I don't. I've got all the plot points and the sub details in my head. Mm-hmm. How about you, James? I mean, you've listened to me rant about this for over 10, 12 years. Are you in favor of the changes? How do you feel about them?
I'm more just cautiously optimistic. I'm waiting to see, because we haven't seen how it's going to play out yet. So that's kind of how I feel about it. Yeah, I'm not going to gripe about it until the end, so I can see exactly what they mean to do.
Yeah,
right. We don't know what they're going
to
do yet.
Are they setting up to really develop Mensa into that, the person who overcomes whatever's going on with her panic attacks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
And they did front load some of the. Not the hippy-dippy stuff, but, they're all caring people, right?
Right.
Garothan is not obviously a caring person, but he says it, right?
I care about my team.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but, like, there's a different level of social awkward with Garothan, and maybe just from being an augmented human and probably having some of that prejudice against him. Yeah. But so it kind of has the two different levels of that that happen, where then on the other side is Rati, who's, you know, kind of all emotion and limbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his whole thing initially is to make Murderbot be uncomfortable by being, you know, overly emotive and connective and relational, because Murderbot does not care for that. Although later on in the series, Murderbot says that Rothy is his second favorite human after Mensa.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I enjoyed that in novella where it's like, I don't like this person. All right, maybe I like them a little, you know, when they do something. Yeah. Since we're going to do several of these, I don't think we have to go all that much longer.
No, we can keep it nice and short.
Yeah. So I will try and turn this around before the third episode comes out. So let us know what you think, you know, what you're hoping to see in the rest of the series. Highlights, lowlights, anything you're looking forward to. And hopefully everybody still has the feed. I recently moved our podcast website over to, it's the same host, but a different account because it was under James. And he's like, this is going to be really expensive to renew.
Yep.
And I asked the host, I'm like, how much would it cost to move it over to mine? They're like, it wouldn't cost you anything extra. I'm like, oh, okay. Other than the domain registration. Right. So I moved it over there. So there was a little bit of downtime, and I've noticed a couple funky artifacts in podcast players. Like I searched for it in mine. I use Podcast Addict. When you search it, it comes up with two records and only one of them works.
Oh.
So I got a note from Bob Marl, who did the Pandemic Fiction episode with me on Hugo's there, that he uses Overcast and it shows our feed as going dead in 2023. Sorry. And I don't know what's going on there. I remember we had another blip at some point. I don't remember what happened, but it was, we had a little bit of downtime and we lost a bunch of subscribers, and that's probably when that happened.
Hmm.
Hopefully everybody's getting it. If not, go and resubscribe. In this episode, in the show notes, I'll put the RSS feed. So if you need to change the feed in your player, that probably actually propagates up someplace, maybe.
So, pessimistically, people who don't go to our website directly for a podcast would never find this episode if their only contact was through a feed.
True.
So
saying it on the feed doesn't help anybody.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's like the thing when you're at in Fred Meyer or something, and they'll say, you know, Colin Cuskey, if you're in the store, could you please come to customer service? I'm like, well, if you're not in the store, you're not hearing it. So you just page him to say, Colin Cuskey, please come to customer service. Yeah.
It's kind of a useless intro to that now.
It is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to more Sanctuary Man.
Me too.
Yeah.
And more Murderbot. I want to see more of this.
Yeah.
It's exciting to me although it's hard to realize because I read so much, that if people came across this work, it is most likely to happen through media, not through the books.
Yeah.
Right.
So this gets, you know, Martha Wells writing out there. It's really, really good. The content's good. People will find more for things this way.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do have to say, Colin, I'm a little hurt that you didn't tell us that you pre-watched it. I thought we were all watching it for the first time together.
No, I watched it last night because I did not want to go through the ranting Colin phase, which has happened on so many of our episodes. Actually,
there's bargaining.
Denial.
Yes.
Abject despair.
Yes.
Rage. Disappointment. Yes. Judgment.
Yeah. Fetal position. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't forget the accusation of people that dare to like it because it's different.
Right,
Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I will eventually recover from this.
Okay.
So
I'm trying to help early. I'm trying to be a nice podcaster.
All right. Thanks everybody. Until next time, may the road rise up to meet you and may the book always fall open to where you left off.
Ciao.
Bye everybody.
Lips and assholes have no gender.
You never heard that?
No.
Did I just break you? Bonus material. Not safe for work.
Yes. Take me to your reader after hours.
Whoa. Sorry about that, Darth.